Welcome to episode 150 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. So, I will now run the random number generator. And the coordinates for this episode are 20 hours, 26 minutes, 5.3 seconds for ascension, and plus 58 degrees, 34 minutes, 23 seconds declination. These coordinates point to the star Wolf 1069. So, Wolf 1069 is a red dwarf in the constellation Cygnus. The star is very close to Earth at a distance of 9.6 parsecs, and while this isn't close enough to place the red dwarf in a list of the 50 closest star systems, it is close enough for me to use my Star Wars sound effects. Also, astronomers have found an exoplanet orbiting the star that is a candidate for harboring life. Also, if this all sounds rather familiar, that's because 7 episodes ago, I discussed another red dwarf named GJ887 that was also very close to Earth and that also had exoplanets orbiting it. I have considered that, after doing this podcast for a while, I would end up talking about the same types of objects over and over again, and I'm not talking about just supermassive black holes and binary star systems, but really, really specific things like, well, really nearby red dwarfs with exoplanets that could potentially harbor life. Anyhow, I will promise that Wolf 1069 will be different from GJ887. However, before I discuss the exoplanet, let's talk a little bit about the star itself. Wolf 1069 is named after Max Wolf. And yes, his name really was Max Wolf. And he apparently used the name Max Wolf both in his personal and professional life, although his full name was Maximilian Franz Joseph Cornelius Wolf. Anyway, Max Wolf was a German astronomer who pioneered the use of photography in astronomy in the late 19th century, and through his use of photography, he discovered a couple of hundred asteroids as well as dark nebulae. In 1919, he began publishing a series of catalogs of stars so close to Earth that they could be seen moving slightly relative to background stars, albeit very slowly and over a period of several years, and Wolf 1069 was in one of those catalogs. The star has mass of 0.17 times the mass of the Sun, and a radius of 0.18 times the radius of the Sun. The total energy output from the red dwarf is 0.029 times the Sun's. Consequently, although the star is close, it's really hard to see. It only has an apparent magnitude of somewhere between 12 and 16, depending on which part of the spectrum you look at, which means that it's too faint to see without a telescope, and even with a telescope, it would look indistinct compared to everything else. The exoplanet, which is formally designated Wolf 1069b, was found using a series of observations spanning from 2007 to 2020, with a discovery published in 2023 by a group led by Diana Kosakowski. The group was able to identify that the star moved back and forth in a periodic way that was consistent with the star being orbited by, and gravitationally affected by, an exoplanet. In some cases, observations that take a decade or more would be needed to demonstrate that an exoplanet with a very long orbital period is circling another star. For example, if an exoplanet in another star system takes 10 years to complete an orbit, it would take 20 years of observations, or two of the exoplanet's orbits, to definitively show that the star is moving in a way that is consistent with the presence of a planet in the star system. In Wolf 1069's situation, however, the exoplanet completes an orbit once every 15 days, 13 hours, and 32 minutes, which would normally take just a few weeks of observations to find. However, I think the reason why it took so long to identify that planet orbited Wolf 1069 is because the star is faint and the exoplanet is also relatively small, which means that the gravitational effects that astronomers were looking for were also very small, and to find those effects, they needed a lot of data. So let's do a quick rundown of some numbers for the exoplanet Wolf 1069b. First of all, the exoplanet has a mass of 1.26 times the Earth's mass, which in exoplanet terms means that Wolf 1069b is remarkably Earth-like in size. The planet orbits at a distance of 0.067 astronomical units from its host star, which is equivalent to roughly 1/6 the distance from our Sun to Mercury. This is close, but because the faint red dwarf is indeed faint, the average temperature on the surface of the exoplanet is estimated to be negative 23 degrees Celsius, which is below freezing, but this makes it possible that life may live on the warmer parts of the surface. Also, this estimate ignores any atmospheric greenhouse effect that would make the exoplanet warmer, which means that it could host liquid oceans instead of mostly ice on its surface. So now let's return to the one big reason why Wolf 1069 is not exactly the same as GJ887, which, as a reminder, is another nearby red dwarf with exoplanets that I discussed 7 episodes ago. People were also really excited about the prospect of possibly finding life on one of the exoplanets in the GJ887 system, except that, in follow-up ultraviolet observations after the discovery of the exoplanets, they found that GJ887 had really strong stellar flares. And these types of stellar flares are capable of baking away the outer atmospheres of exoplanets, leaving nothing but roasted dry planetary surfaces behind. This was such a letdown that I'm certain that someone from the original research group who found GJ887's exoplanets later sought psychological counseling. However, Wolf 1069 is different. That giant heap of data that Diana Kosakowski and her collaborators accumulated over 13 years allowed her group to determine that Wolf 1069 does not exhibit any strong flaring. They even checked different parts of the electromagnetic spectrum to make sure that the flares weren't hidden somewhere, like in X-ray emission. This lack of flaring means that it is much more likely that the exoplanet Wolf 1069b has an atmosphere, which then means it's much more likely that the exoplanet harbors life. This discovery is a very new one, as of when I'm recording this in 2025, so it doesn't look like anyone has had a chance to publish any detailed follow-up observations or analyses yet, but I'm certain that the exobiology people are going to be especially interested in taking a closer look at the Wolf 1069 system to see if they can find any signs of water or other hints of life on the system's exoplanet. The location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of Wolf 1069 in the sky is in the Labrador Sea, halfway between Greenland and Canada. I previously would have told you that this is a relatively cold and boring part of the ocean that has no significance whatsoever. But things have changed, and this area of the world became strangely geopolitically important in 2025. The geopolitically unimportant website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com, which you can visit to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. And I do have some feedback to share with this episode. S. Smith wrote in to say, "I just want to let you know that you are very appreciated. I love this podcast and found it by complete chance after looking up something for my astronomy club. Thank you." Well, thank you very much for sending in that note, and I hope you share this podcast with other people in your astronomy club. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesounds Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.